So tonight's episode of Falkirk Daft is dedicated to someone known to so many of us, Gary Hill. Hilly sadly passed away over the weekend after a really long battle with cancer. He really was the epitome of being a Falkirk bairn, home and away every week for well over 30 years, and we know only too well how hard it was for him not to get to the games this season. He was helped to watch the matches whenever possible by his family, friends, and the amazing Strathcairn Hospice, who we donate sponsorship of tonight's episode as a small thank you. We kept him going daily, as did many others, on our group chat with myself, Stevie, and Will. He loved nothing better than hearing about what was happening, the latest rumours from the club, and was forever asking for a signing or two. And it was fitting. The last signing the club made in January was one interacting with Gary, and he loved that. All our thoughts are with Claire, Molly, and the family. You're a gentleman, Gary, and you couldn't do enough for everyone. So this episode is dedicated to you, mate. You were, are, and always will be Falkirk Daft.
McAllister still going strongly in the closing minutes. Great one by Kevin McAllister! What a goal that is! Delivery's good, there's Hagen. Now McGrath, he scored!
It's Stokes on a hat-trick! Goal number three for Anthony Stokes.
Alston saw off Robertson and delivered! Sybold scores! That's the goal! That's the moment! Samuel off and running again. Is it going to be the hat-trick? You know it is.
This is Falkirk Daft.
Welcome to Falkirk Daft. It's your unofficial podcast dedicated to everything to do with the Falkirk Bairns. And I'm feeling a bit like The Rock. Finally, the Falkirk Bairns were back at the Falkirk Stadium. That's completely lost on you because you're not a wrestling fan, are you?
Not at all.
Right, listen, we'll be looking back at a hard-fought win against Alloa this week, and we'll be looking ahead to another crucial game against Airdrie on Saturday. Isn't everything crucial at the moment? But for every rock, you need a sock. The Rock and Sock Connection tag team, one of the most famous... lost on you. Anyway, it's not Mick Foley or Mankind. It's Ross Wayne who's joining me today. Hello, Ross.
Indeed. Good evening, sir. Good evening.
Going to be looking back at that Alloa game. A bit of a drowned out result, but loved it. Loved that walking away from the stadium after managing that game out. It was just nice because, like we've said in so many times in previous seasons, that'd have been a draw.
Yeah, or worse. And I think everybody felt it at full time at the stadium. Bit of relief, probably more than anything else. And obviously, the news from East End Park was positive. So, as you said, ground out, but we needed that badly.
Yeah, no, we'll get into it with our guest pundit Pete just in a bit. Some chat back from last week, Peter McKenzie. We were talking about the Jam playing the Manicky, and he has sent us a poster of said gig. Get this, man, amazing. Fogo Productions present the Jam at the Manicky, and it says, and a disco. So the Jam obviously went on and then played at the Manicky, and this happened Thursday the 14th of July. So maybe Paul Weller, after the gig, jumped over to the San Am and got a curry after the game.
Could have done. Or as you say, well, yeah, if they were maybe in Falkirk for a couple of days. So yeah, maybe saw the delights of Falkirk.
Yeah, £1.20 to get into that gig, by the way. Wow, see the Jam in Falkirk for £1.20.
Bonkers, isn't it? Although, what would that be in today's money? I don't know what that would work out at, but...
You're the man in finance, you can...
I know, but... We'll have a look at that for next week.
We've still no proof that the San Am is Paul Weller's favourite curry house in Britain. I am getting I know people who know people, and I'm going to see if I can get a word to Paul Weller. And see if we can find out if that's true or not. Stephen Hogan has been in touch, and he flags up a tweet from Match Winner, right? Match Winner are back, by the way. Now, this tweet is interesting. It says, just to answer the hundreds of questions being asked, yes, we have been contacted directly by numerous clubs with regards to reproduction of historic classical club shirts. Yes, our intention is to reproduce all Match Winner shirts that the clubs want to do.
Wow, that could be very, very good.
What Match Winner top would you like to see come back, Ross?
I think my favourite is probably the same. I think it's the same one as yours. Remember the home one from 1994-95? It was like it was a lighter blue mixed with navy blue. It was really nice shirt.
Yeah, that's my. That didn't even make a World Cup of football shirts. I was disappointed in that.
It was a cracker though.
The yellow one as well, the matching yellow away one as well. Yeah. Oh.
No, that was a beautiful historic shirt.
I don't think they would do it, but the third top, I've still got that.
The paint splash one, yeah. Oh no, I've got that as well. Classic top. The only one I didn't like, and a lot of people did like it, was the home one from the season after, and it had the white steeple on the sleeve. It was like a huge big steeple.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know whether I associate it because of Lambie and stuff. That's maybe what's throwing me. But...
Maybe that. I always picture Derek Ferguson in that top. I don't know why. Mo Johnston as well played in that top, yeah.
He did. And do you know, that's maybe a problem, though. See, when you associate shirts with like a bad time, like at the few years ago when we had the steeple. Remember the steeple in the front, and like it was ruined by Hartley.
It was a great looking top, that as well.
It was. So
you go again associated with bad times. So yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right on that one. But yeah, match winner. Let's hope that Falkirk have been in touch with them, and we can get some classic retro tops in the coffee shop soon. I'd love that.
Indeed.
Since we last spoke, we've got some bits and bobs of news, Ross. We've got a new signing in through the door, Max. You know what, it's the first time me trying this, so I'm going to, I actually phonetically wrote this down from what Lewis said on Falkirk TV, so I'm going to try this. Here we go. Kucheriavke. There we go.
So Max.
Max. We've got Max is signed for the club from St Johnstone on loan until the end of the season. We'll talk about him a wee bit more when we get into the game. First Ukrainian, I think, Falkirk have ever signed. I don't think we've ever had a Ukrainian at the club.
Oh, yeah, that's a good shout-out. Good shout. I can't think of another. We've obviously had a few from that neck of the woods, but no, I don't think we've had a Ukrainian.
Yeah, I reached out, my mate Sam does the St Johnstone, the Dogger Saints podcast, which is affiliated with the club, and he does the official podcast of that. So straight on to Sam just to ask what
what's it called? The Dogger?
The Dogger Saints podcast. I think it's a pub or a... but they do the St Johnstone podcast. So I reached out to him just to get the lowdown on Max. He says... he was going to message me anyway. He said, absolutely no idea why he isn't getting a game for us. He's a brilliant wee player. Been out on loan at Kelty and Brechin, and he was a standout for them. I was hoping he'd go to the Championship top end, but I think he'll do a massive turn. Some engine on the boy, and you know, we'll talk about him in a bit. But yeah, he does look like he's got a proper good engine.
He does. Very impressed from his debut, John. Yep.
I spoke to someone at work today whose dad's involved with Kelty as well, and they were really impressed with him at Kelty. Just said... just a bit too young and a bit too lightweight for that league, but still put himself about and, you know, tried it his best, you know. So fingers crossed for Max, and certainly from Saturday it could be a very bright and a very good sign for us. So there we go. Volumes 1 and 2 of Falkirk Football Club's official minutes have now been published online. You know, the club put out an appeal and the Heritage Society put out for this to try and help people digitalise the old minutes, and this has seen us from 1917 right through to 1928. One of our friends Chris is actually involved in the project. You know, we just called him a nerd, but you know, it's like doing this sort of work. I mean, you just find out some fascinating stuff. Like, so get this: in the minutes have revealed things such as a proposed move from Brockville to a stadium at Bell's Meadow, which would be right next to Calendar Park. That would have been a strange one.
Oh, that would have been a random one, wouldn't it?
Also, transfer dealings with clubs like Liverpool, Man City, Everton and Arsenal, and obviously world-famous, world-record transfer of Sid Puddlefoot from West Ham. So all this sort of stuff's been unveiled, so there'll be some absolute, you know, as they keep going and digitising, I think you'll find some absolute belters in there.
That would be kind of cool. And as you said, the first impression, he goes, oh, that's a wee bit nerdy for like your pal Chris putting his name forward. But actually,
that sort of stuff anyway. So.
Yeah, but you probably would find out some brilliant stuff and some bonkers. I think you'd said there was something about AC Milan or Inter Milan or something like that in there as well, isn't there? So
There was an invitation received from Milan for the Club to Undertaker tour of Italy. Mental.
Wouldn't happen now.
I don't think so. Falkirk at the San Siro would have been a thing to watch. But if you want to check it all out, falkirkfootballheritagetrust.wordpress.com. We'll put the link in the description this week. falkirkfootballheritagetrust.wordpress.com. Check that out. And if you want to get involved with the digitalisation of the minutes and be a nerd like Chris, you can do that. ffhtdigitisation@gmail.com. Again, we'll put the link in the show description. So if you want to check that out. Before we get into the match, another thing we've got to talk about is the Dunfermline game has now got a date eventually.
Amazing. Yep. No, it'll be a huge night. Huge night. Super Tuesday, Mark II, hopefully.
Well, that Ross, you pulled this one out of the bag. That is the actual date of Super Tuesday, wasn't it? The 7th of March.
It was indeed, yeah. Obviously, that was 89, I think, from memory. And I've still got the badge, as you can see from the Twitter page. Yeah, I've got some random badges from over the years, mostly from, as that would have been our Rupert's Roar.
I was going to say that was in the Rupert's Roar, remember that?
It could have been, actually, was it Rupert's Roar or was it the Falkirk unofficial? I can't remember, it was one of the two, but hopefully Super Tuesday Mark II, that would be really, really special if we could get that one.
For the club that week, Dunfermline Tuesday and then Ayr in the Cup. I mean, that is season defining for the club. And
absolutely.
I mean, do you think they've been shit? Why is it taking so long? I mean, that's about 3 months after the original game was scheduled.
The rumour was that they had tried to get it played, or they had offered a few dates to get it played, but obviously we've had the cup situation, which they've not. I think we've probably been holding off to make sure that it's not going to clash with a potential cup date or a replay date, because you need to remember that as well. Sorry, not a replay date, a postponement date, because in the Scottish Cup, there's no replays now, but you have to agree a postponement date in case snow or whatever happens. So you can't schedule a league fixture for then either. So there's probably been a few bits and bobs going on, but at least it's in the diary now. And it looks like unless hundreds of people request a refund, it can go. It looks like there's already a couple of thousand tickets sold, so that could be an absolute phenomenal night through East End Park.
Well, I'm shiting it already, but we need to get, there's a lot of road to go in between there and then.
There is.
So we'll see how we do, and it's like a huge, huge week for Falkirk that week. But let's get into what happened on Saturday, shall we? And every week on Falkirk Daft, we'd like to welcome a guest pundit, and this week is no exception. Please welcome to Falkirk Daft, it's Pete Middy.
Hi there, thank you.
How you doing, Pete?
I'm very good, thanks. Can you hear me okay, yeah?
We can hear you absolutely fine.
Good stuff.
You've got the Madonna-style headphones on, so expect a wee song, maybe like a Virgin or something later on, Pete. You're at the game on Saturday. We'll get into that in a minute. But first of all, we need to find out a little bit about you, Pete. When did you first start going to Falkirk games and how did you get into it?
Yeah, no problem. So yeah, first games I went to was back in the early 1980s. My dad took me, to be honest, I can't remember too much about the early part. I just remember like cutting about the terracing, kicking an empty bottle cup. But during the mid-80s, I do remember certain games, for example, Parkhead away when we won 2-1 when Jimmy Gilmore scored.
Yep.
I remember being in the terraces that day. I was a ball boy for a couple of years as well during the kind of later 80s, which was fantastic. Loved that. And then, just started going with my friends during the 90s on various supporters buses, like the Roman Bar. There was a bus from Martin's. And then, latterly, on the Jimmy Gilmore shuttle bus, which is always good. So, yeah, just love Falkirk. I've got three boys. They're totally into it as well. So, yeah, it's very much a family thing now.
You still
my wife hates it.
Don't all wives. Are you still kicking about with the shuttle boys?
Not as much as I'd like, to be honest. Just because my three kids are 12, 14 and 17, so they need a lift to the game, so I just take the car nowadays. I take my dad in the car. I do miss it. It's a great bunch of lads that go on the bus. Had some fantastic memories over the years on it. I don't drink now anymore either, so I'd be missing out if I went on the bus anyway.
You'd be wasted in the shuttle now, Pete.
I'd be absolutely wasted, yeah.
Literally. Right. All those years going by, Pete, then, who would you say is your favourite Falkirk player? And I'm going to rule out Latapy, McAllister and Stainrod. If we're ruling those three out, who's your favourite?
Yeah, no problem. I'd go for John Hughes. You know, I thought he was a bit of a legend. He played for the Badge whenever he was on the pitch. So many games for the club. As a manager, I thought he was really good as well. I know his last season, maybe his ego got the better of him. And that maybe goes against him a little bit. But, you know, you look where we are then compared to now, kind of the halcyon days of the kind of modern generation of Falkirk supporters. So, yeah, I'd go for John Hughes, but he was a fantastic player.
I mean, it is like, you talk about Yogi and it does... I don't know why Falkirk supporters feel, it feels like there's a bitter taste left in the mouth from Yogi, and you forget how much of an absolute icon and a superstar he was for Falkirk, and the occasions that, you know, the two occasions that he played for the club and managed it. I mean, our most successful manager of all time, let's not forget about that.
Yeah.
And yet Falkirk supporters are still complaining about him, and I've never understood that. And I know what you were saying, you know, that last season maybe left a bitter taste in the mouth, but still, God, wouldn't you give to go back to those days?
100%. I know,
because he still left us in a decent position. Yeah. I know we had some of the Dad's Army on really high wages, but we're playing in Europe that year. We're still in the top flight. If the board had got put in a manager of decent enough quality, we might have still been there now, you know, so.
I
agree with that. I think it was the decisions after he left that was the real turning point, not so much kind of where we're at. Granted, you're right, he went a bit rogue with his signing policy that last season, but...
yep.
But then you look at, I thought like some of the players he brought in did a decent job for us, you know, like Bowen was good, McCann was okay.
McCann did all right.
They were all decent, you know, players on their day, you know. But yeah, I mean, I think like you say, Ross, the decision to bring in Eddie, who again are a bit of a club legend and did such a good job with the youth academy, that was, you know, you see it so many times now. Like you see at the moment, you see the likes of Stevie Hamill and Liam Fox at United, and these managers have come in from that kind of level into the kind of hot seat. They struggle as well, you know, and we were one of the first kind of, you know, clubs to do that. And I believe Eddie didn't even want the job, he was kind of forced into it, you know.
That was the story, wasn't it?
Yeah, so it's interesting. Listen, that'd be, I'd love to, you know what, we should have a full episode just dissecting that whole situation and the Yogi years. That'd be a great episode. But let's get into what we're here to talk about today, and that is Falkirk 1, Alloa 0, Callum Morrison with the goal. What do you think? Initial thoughts on the game, guys? We obviously had one change, Sean Mackey coming for Brad McKay, which was enforced. We'd still not heard about Brad McKay. Ross, you've got your ear to the ground on that.
No, the only thing I heard last week was that he took a really, really bad stamp to his thigh, which if it's torn his muscle or something, I don't know. Obviously, I'm no doctor, but if that sounds pretty bad to have that done. So hopefully he's not going to be out too long.
Yeah, leaves is a wee bit short in the centre-half area, because Paul Watson, I believe, is a good wee while from coming back still as well. And we saw Big Hendo going off there at the weekend. We'll get into that in a minute. We were discussing, you know, last week about bringing a centre-half option, Ross, and, you know, we might, you know, regret...
Still got a week or so to do, hasn't he? So you never know, he might do. I know we're going to talk about it in a minute, but I thought Wee Max came on and did brilliantly. I'm not going to try and pronounce his surname, but I thought Wee Max came on and did brilliantly in place of Henderson.
Yeah, did brilliant. Absolutely. Game itself then, Pete, what did you make of it?
Yeah, it wasn't like the best of performances. However, I thought that probably every player, well, the majority of players had like a 7 out of 10, apart from maybe Morrison, who was like 8 or 9, and Cole Donaldson, 8 or 9. It was just a kind of grinding out victory. I thought we were deserved winners. You know, if you look at this, we had most possession, we had more shots on goal, albeit one less on target, according to the Sky Sports stats. I felt we created the better chances, we played the better football. Alloa were very much just long ball, trying to just play off the knockdowns or mistakes, very industrial football. So no, I thought we were worthy winners in the end. It wasn't great, but then I know you always play McGlynn's interview during this, and I like he says that the kind of mental strain of the game against Darvel may have taken its toll. And to be honest, I kind of agree with that. Yeah. There was maybe just something slightly lacking, but we're worthy winners, I thought.
Yeah, no, I mean, like you say, the way Alloa play the football, you know, you see that size of that team when they're bringing the boys off the bench, that boy Donnelly, and when they went up, they're such a big, rugged team, and they're very difficult to play against, as we've seen in the Cup game, as we've seen at the recreation at X a couple of weeks ago as well. Just a tough, turgid team to play against, Ross.
Yeah, no, we knew it was going to be a challenge, as you said, obviously it feels like we've played them like every week for the last couple of weeks, but they've been really, really tough games, and I didn't expect anything different. I think Pete's right. I think there was probably a wee bit of a hangover, not just mentally, but physically as well, because like even like Wee Kennedy just ran his legs off on Saturday, and you could tell at one point he was kind of running on fumes. So I'm just glad to get to the end and get the win, to be honest. And I think you saw that at the end, just everybody was probably more relieved than anything else.
Yeah, it was a pretty turgid first half. If it let be known, you know, there wasn't much in the way of chances. We started to settle just a wee bit as the kind of game progressed, and we started creating chances. But yeah, you could just tell that Alloa were there to make things difficult, and they do. They're a difficult team to go play against. I'm glad to see that they've got games against Dunfermline still to come, and they're actually a couple of weeks' time they go to East End Park. So, you know, two big teams going up against each other, should be interesting to see what happens there. It was the first half, there wasn't much to write home about until Cal Morrison gets that chance. Unbelievable. What a strike.
Brilliant goal.
Had that wee tester earlier on, which he hit at Hogarth, it was just like that. That's like your marker in darts, you know. It was just like, there's the marker. Let's hit it. And what a strike!
Like, I wasn't sure if maybe the goalie maybe could have done a little bit better, because it was at his side and he was quite close to the left hand side of the goals. But whether or not he was unsighted by players in front of him, or whether the ball kind of swerved, but you know, it was a fantastic strike by a player that is on top form just now. You know, he's superb just now, Callum Morrison.
I thought that as well, Pete. I wondered if he was maybe blindsided by because it was a full box from the corner. And I know we put this up on our socials at the time, because I'll randomly say to John, oh, we're going to score here, John, let's record it. And we never do. And then I did it on Saturday, and then the corner came in. I thought, oh, well, I'll keep recording. And then it went in. And it did look a packed box. So I think you're right. I think maybe the keeper was a wee bit blindsided, but what a finish. Like, he absolutely put the laces through it as well on the half forward, didn't he?
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Oh, absolutely. The one thing I would say, you know, I think, and this is, I think this Falkirk's been like this, there's sometimes a wee bit of, I'm going to use several different terms here, arsing about, fanning about, knobbing around at the back sometimes. Because the two things I worry about most about Falkirk are, sometimes we try and play too much at the back, and we've seen if from your own mistakes you can lose goals. You've seen that happen down in the Premiership in England, and you know, up in the Premiership in Scotland as well, when people make mistakes from the back and it looks horrible. And I've got a bad feeling that's going to happen, because there is sometimes a wee bit too much overplay at the back. And the other thing is just corners. Again, I talked about it in last week's show, is just our defending of corners. Alloa had a few that, you know, certainly there's the chance later on in the game that were coming from this kind of set pieces, and it really does worry me, the set pieces. We had problems with it at the start of the season, and it seems to be just creeping back into our game now. That's the two big things that worry me in losing goals. It's just the individual errors when we're trying to play about at the back, and from set pieces as well. Am I the only one with this fear?
No. Listen, I think you're right, John, and you feel it in the crowd as well. Like, there was a few times in the first half, more so the crowd and the Kevin McAllister stand, they were getting a wee bit tetchy with Morrison and the defence, because they were, as you said, like farting about with it. And
there's an arbor farting, farting about.
And, and there is going to be times when we can do it, but I thought Saturday was probably not it, because Alloa were playing a really, really high press.
Yeah, absolutely. I've got to put a shout out, the highlight of the first half is guy five, Rose,
Yep, saw that.
From us, you know, heading the ball back. We talked about it in the podcast. Dreams can come true. The ball was coming at it. It was only five away from me. I'm getting closer. And the boy, what a header it was back onto
the absolutely melted it, didn't he?
Shout out to him. He is a high contender for Falkirk Draft rated for this week, by the way, Ross. I'll put that out there right now. Right. Can we talk about the referee, Grant Irvin? Jesus Christ. He's not been the worst, but that linesman, see that linesman on the stand, the main stand side? Oh my God. He was horrendous. The ball was out for a corner and he didn't give it. Talk about, by the way, and we obviously, Wright had a goal ruled offside.
Mm.
Hard to see from Falkirk television, but a lot of people saying he was never off.
Looked tight. It did. It looked really tight, didn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was impossible to see from where I was in the stand behind the goals. You couldn't really tell. I think I'd agree with Ross, you know, it would have been very, very tight. I'm sure I've seen some people on your Twitter feed say that it was onside, so maybe they were more in line with the ball. But even Falkirk TV was kind of inconclusive in terms of whether or not it was onside or not.
Yeah. It would have been nice if it counted, because I think we would have you know, probably seen the game out in a wee bit more comfort than we did. And it was a good, because I don't, how long was left when that goal was? Maybe about 15 minutes left still.
Yeah, probably, yeah.
Yeah, about that. So, no, it was, yeah, it's, if we just had got that second goal, like Aloha, obviously, they had a couple of half chances, but nothing really of note.
No, they never really carved us open at any real point. They did have, a couple of shots near the end, but they were kind of like daisy cutters, I would say, straight into to Morrison. Although Wright probably should have scored, maybe you're going to touch on this, John, in a little bit, but you know, Wright should have probably scored that chance when Kukuravi got to the byline fantastically well on the left and cut it across, beautiful ball into the box, and you know, Wright just never really quite put his foot out to make contact with it.
Should have just thrown himself at the ball, shouldn't he?
Yeah,
but
yeah.
John, going back to the ref though, I thought he was one of the worst. I know you're saying we've had worse, but I thought he was one of the worst that we've had all season.
You think,
yeah? I thought he's absolutely stank. See, when you saw how he was talking to players, and we sometimes, we're sitting, we're quite close to the bench, so you hear how he interacts with the bench as well. And the way he was talking to Smith and Ricey as well on the Aloha bench. I think refs, why do they need to talk to people like they're filth or kids? Just speak to people as you would want to be spoken to, and you would get a far, far better reception from them, you know?
Yeah, there was a strange situation. We were trying to work it out where he was almost trying to talk about the multi-ball situation. You know how the ball boys were swapping the boys? And it was almost like he was saying, that's got to stop. But then I think he was maybe saying, I think maybe Falkirk were doing it for our players, but not the Aloha players, and he's had a word about that. But it was very strange, because then you saw someone going around talking to all the ball boys after he'd talked.
That's right, we saw that, didn't we? Aye.
A really strange one, I don't know, but yeah, I mean, talk about it right there, Pete, I thought he played well when he came on. He had that one off the line where it's kind of bounced off, and the Aloha boys had it off the line, you know, offside goal. If he just, you know, outstretched his leg, you know, he could have been on the score sheet himself, but I was actually really, really impressed with him when he came on. I think, you know, we've still got Burrow, and a lot of people have been bemoaning that Roman didn't come on. Jordan Allen was obviously sitting on the bench there as well, but I think in a game like that, where you're playing up against a big physical team, he's probably the right option to come off the bench. I don't know if you guys agree with that.
Yeah, I thought he did really well. We've just got so many striking options now for the one berth up front, so it's kind of hard to see where everybody fits in. But no, he was good when he came on. He held the ball up well. His distribution was pretty good as well. It just looks like another good signing from the manager.
He definitely does. I agree, Pete. I think he probably was the right option for Saturday. I think Jordan Allen would have got swallowed up in that size of that defence. Roman probably would have came on and ran about a bit, but would he have done too much damage? I don't know. But the boy Wright came on, put himself about, he had the chances, he put some tackles in, he tracked back. So, yeah, no, fair play. I'm like, did a job.
And talking of the subs, let's talk about our new signing, Kucheri Avke. There you go, impressed by that.
Well,
thank you very much. He looks like a player, by the way. I don't know if he's, you know, we play, obviously, we brought him on for Liam Henson. Any word on Liam Henson, Ross? You heard anything about Liam?
No. We did wonder, though, didn't we? Because I think you went straight up at half-time, John. But see, about 2 minutes after half-time, one of the coaching team came out and said to, I'll just call him Max. So he had said to Max, look, get ready because you might be going on. So you wondered if he would reappear. And it's obviously just been too much. Hopefully, it's not too much damage. Like, you don't want it to be like a broken rib or something like that. But he was holding his chest and his stomach. So hopefully, nothing too major.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully it is, just because he's been, you know, I think when you go back to where we started this great run, it's been Liam Henderson in the midfield that's let us. And, you know, again, you saw that there was an amazing ball that Liam Henderson played out when we were struggling at the back, and he just played this beautiful ball out into Mason in the channel. It was brilliant stuff. So it'd be a big miss. But let's talk about wee Max. Pete, what do you make of him?
Yeah, really good. I was a little bit concerned for the first 5 minutes because it looked like he was trying to take maybe a little bit too much time on the ball, but he never lost the ball. Whether or not it was just his kind of in-game intelligence where he could find the space and he knew what was round about him. But as the game progressed, he got stronger and stronger, and he definitely looks like he's going to be an asset for the rest of the season. A really good option to have again.
Looked like he doesn't play that position. It looks like he probably plays and when Nesbitt plays in that further kind of 10 role, Ross. But I thought, like, in that midfield with the sort of, besides Stephen McGinn, I thought, you know, he chased balls down, he put some digging. Like, going back to that chance we had for Wright, you know, it was all about him winning the ball, getting to the byline, cutting that across. You know, I mentioned earlier about my mate St Johnston. He was immediately onto to me after the game saying, how did he play? And he could be one. I know you at the time, Ross, on Saturday were saying he's maybe Falkirk Daft rated for this week for me.
I genuinely thought he was. I thought he was amazing. Like, don't get me wrong, Morrison, he obviously got man of the match of the game for his strike and his overall play and work rate. But for the time that the lad had on, which was probably a good 40 minutes, I thought he was unplayable. He, as Pete says, he didn't lose the ball once. He held on to it really, really well. Do you know who, and you, John, you'll come at me here, right? But do you know who he reminded me of, like, in terms of how he protects the ball?
Neil Scally.
No, definitely not Neil Scally. But we Russell, because Russell never looked... No, listen to me.
Jesus. Russell. Christ, he's put 40 Russell, minutes Russell. In the park. Here we go. Right, mark it down. Could Sherry Halfgate the new Russell Latapy? Right, come on.
Well, listen to me. I've got method. See the way he protected the ball? His head was straight up. I just thought, like, the wee man's touch, and he's quite short as well, so he's got that set low centre of gravity. I thought he was tremendous. I genuinely do. And I know you're laughing at me for saying that, and I know you would, but I genuinely think he will be a player. And whether he's for Falkirk for very long, I don't know. But, I thought he was unplayable. And as Pete said, the chance he created for himself with the ball across, he probably could have been selfish and went for goal, but he didn't. He was really intelligent. Put it across the box, and it just needed the boy Wright to throw himself at the ball, and it probably would have been in.
I mean, you're getting away from, you know, Callum Morrison. You're maybe saying he'll be Falkirk Daft rated, but I think the problem is now it's just Callum Morrison's just expected to do what he does now, and you can see opposition teams, you know, are scared of Callum Morrison when he gets the ball and when he runs at opponents, because you know, you can see how there was times when they were doubling up on him, tripling up on him and stuff like that, because he has got, you know, what a return in terms of goals he's had for us from playing the position he has. And, you know, we've not had any penalties, so that's not even right. It's all from open play at Callum Morrison's scored. And again, he won man of the match, and quite rightly so, but he's one of these ones that just you just expect anything from Callum. And, you know, we all know, going back to the steak or the chicken scenario at the start of the season, which I, you know, talked about his indecision and whatever. It's just been steak all the way. Unbelievable.
No, it has. He's been so, so consistent. And Nesbitt as well, the pair of them, they've just... John McGlynn has just got something out of this squad. Like, the players that we didn't think were going to be up to much, he's just got something out of them this year.
Can I take credit after my steak or chicken analogy at the start of the season, and that hopefully Callum and Matt Aidan heard that, and that's what's inspired them to choose steak every time, Ross? I'm going to take... You know, it's nothing to do with McGlynn.
Well, if you're taking that, I'm going to take the Gary Oliver praise then, because I hammered him for weeks.
Well, there you go. Gary Oliver, let's talk briefly on Gary Oliver. Again, just a workmanlike position, but I've seen him more at left back than I did see him in the 18-yard box. What do you make of Gary Oliver? Ross is, you know, he really is, works so hard for the team, and, you know, every teammate, the manager, they're all going to point this out, Pete. But, again, it's just frustrating he's not in the box to... I can't really criticize him at all.
It's a tough one, but I think I'm more aiming towards the side of McGlynn on this one. You know, I'm a bit of a traditionalist where I would prefer the striker to be in and around the box, in between the goal sticks, so they're there for crosses coming in. But when Oliver plays, the connection between the team seems better. His hold-up play is actually really quite good.
Yeah.
His distribution is good. His technical ability is actually pretty good. He's just not in the box. But then that's maybe freeing up space for other players. So, you know, I trust McGlynn in this, to be honest. I'm happy to roll with his.
I agree, Pete. I'm completely won over about why he's in the team. And I think he probably brings more people into play and creates opportunities and goals than... Yeah, we'd all love him to be scoring 15, 20 goals this season, but... As much as that, if he brings others into play and they score more goals, then it's still gonna win out of it, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. Got to put some mentions other than Cal Morrison, Kucheriavke. I'm going to get this right every time I say it. I thought the last 15 minutes, I thought Cole Donaldson was an absolute warrior. I think, you know, he relished coming up against Sam. You could just tell. And Sam and I think quite enjoyed coming up against him. And you could just see the two of them were at it all game in terms of winning headers, putting each other about. You know, I thought he was an absolute warrior again. Big call. So shout out to Cole. And another player I think, again, had a good chance when he linked up with Morrison was Blaine Rowe. I thought Blaine Rowe was really, again, he just goes under the radar. And he's like... Pete was going seven, you know, he's a seven every game, Blaine Rowe, 7-8, because he just does that job at right back so well, you know.
So confident, isn't he? He looks like a proper right back, and it's needed this season. Well, it's needed most seasons, but we've been missing that consistency because of the Williamson situation. So, no, long may it continue.
Yeah.
Yep, agreed.
So, reflections, just final reflections on the game before here from the manager. Pete, anything else you'd like to add?
No, all good. I don't know if you heard what was shouted to Rice.
Yeah.
Where you were.
Going to talk about that. Obviously.
Yeah, that's fine. You can skim over that then.
No, absolutely. It's something that needs to be talked about. You know, it's obviously in the last, since the game, Brian Rice came out his post-match comments after the game saying that he was really disappointed. And I think you've got to be disappointed. The man lived and breathed Falkirk. You know, he was a hero to everyone standing in Hope Street. You know, he was assistant manager at the club for so many years. And I guess, you know, to have a pot shot at, I don't know, a terrible affliction and addiction, you know, it's a kind of cheap shot. You know, you hear, but the thing is, you hear terrible things at the football all the time, you know, and if you went to an Old Firm game, you'd hear a lot worse than that. But I guess it's really disappointing from a Falk perspective that, you know, we're picking a weak spot in a man like Brian Rice, you know.
We heard a few, we didn't actually hear what was said, and really, really clearly, we could hear there was shouts getting made because it seemed to be coming from behind the away dugout, because Ricey shouted something back about his family, or don't talk about my family or something. So there was obviously something said. What we don't know, obviously, we don't know if we'll ever know. But yeah, I think whoever shouted is probably regretting it. And do you know what? As John said, there's obviously an awful lot said at football games, and I'm sure there is a lot of regret there for whoever said it. So. The apology's been made, which I saw just before we came on. So, and you know what? I think I saw something on the Facebook page as well that I think Rice is actually on that. And I think he'll have seen all the comments from an awful lot of Falkirk fans. So, yeah.
Yeah, like I said, it's extremely bad taste. You know, you don't, as you say, the guy's a bit of a legend to the club. I think what the club have done is spot on by apologising to him directly and personally. But, you know, personally, I wouldn't go naming and shaming the person that did it, and I wouldn't go banning them either. I think they'll be sitting with a lot of regret. They'll be totally embarrassed. They'll be ashamed of what they've said, and they'll be reflecting on what they've said and having a think about it on a kind of a wider scale. So, you know, I think banning is over the top. But,
I agree.
You know,
I think that would be, really harsh.
You're absolutely, it's out of order. And like you said, the person will reflect on that. And, you know, I'm one of these people, I never boo or jeer an ex-Falkirk player. See if a player has left us, apart from Callum Higginbottom. But if a player has left us and he's given his all to the club, put in a performance and done everything he can for the club, I would never boo or jeer an ex-player because, you know, they played for the badge and that's all you can ask, unless they've been absolute shite or said something shitey about the club, Callum Higginbottom. Right. Let's hear from our manager then, Mr. John McGlynn.
John, a tough game today, but a great win.
Absolutely, fantastic win. Yeah, Aloha's made it difficult for us in all these games that we've played them in, and they will make it difficult for everyone they're going to play, absolutely. So, yeah, a massive win on the back of the Darvel game, you know. The run continues. It's an amazing run we're on. All credit to the players, you know. It was a big week for us this week. We Darvel on the Monday night. A lot of pressure in that game, a lot of stress involved in that game, and the guys came through really, really well. And today, again, how many times have you seen it when you even talking about Darvel beat Aberdeen and get beat the next game, you know? And we've seen it many, many times. So fair play to the players. They produced the goal for Callum Morrison is unbelievable. You know, what a strike. What a season he's having. He's having a great season. He was a thorn in their side. He put the balls he put in the box first half. You know, we got Gary on the end of a couple, but just couldn't get that proper glancing header to get the goal like what he got like against Edinburgh, for example. But delighted to get a clean sheet at long last. We got a clean sheet. Went to defend the box really well. You'll need to do that against Aloha. They're very direct to get the ball in the box. Nothing wrong with that. Absolutely nothing wrong with it. But you need to deal with it. You know, you need to deal with it. And, we, you know, to be fair, we haven't lost many goals against them, even although they've had, you know, as I say, a lot of balls in the box. We've defended the box really, really well. And, you know, we've played them three times in the last 3-4 weeks, whatever it was. And they put plenty of balls in their box and we have, you know, 2 goals in open play and a penalty kick. So I've got to say that the guys have defended extremely well. Big effort from everyone today. Massive effort, even the midfield players. It was a blow to lose Henderson. Thought young Max came on, did really well. Showed a lot of composure on the ball. Did very tidy on the ball. But just delighted for the whole group, the whole players, backroom staff. It's been a big week this week, and you know, great for the club and everyone connected.
I thought
John, the only thing he didn't say there was he said around Max is that he reminded him of Russell Lattaby. That's the only thing he didn't say there.
He must have just missed that out of his
He was mind. Thinking about it. He was thinking about it.
I tell you what, someone's had a word with John, hasn't he? Because that was 2:10 for the only one question.
Was that all?
Yeah, it was 2:10. Only 2:10 on McGlynn Watch this week. So, I think John, you know, he summed it up really well. He looked quite happy. He looked quite beaming about that result. You know, usually he'll have a wee dick at Lewis or something like that, but he looked really happy about that result. And you know, I think he's probably, that's what he, you know, he talked about the clean sheet, and against a big physical team like Aloha, he's probably happy to see that we've come away with that. And obviously, you know, highlighting like we were saying, Callum Morrison as well, just how he's been a thorn in the side of just everyone this season. So do you know what, we're going to get Pete, because I know Pete has to leave us because he's got to go down to the stadium and pick up his wee man. So what we'll do is we'll get your Falkirk Daft rated before you go, Pete, and then we'll get into the views from the other supporters just in a minute. Who are you going to go for your Falkirk Daft rated, Pete?
I'll go for Cole Donaldson. Kind of held the defence together at the end and got us over the line. Callum Morrison really close. He's on fire just now, absolutely unplayable. And the Ukrainian lad did fantastic as well. But yeah, I would go for Cole Donaldson. So it's over the line.
Right, Ross, is the new Russell Lattaby getting your focus?
Yeah, for his 40-minute cameo, I'm going to give it to Max.
Go on.
Russell Lattaby, Kuri Cheryevsky.
Right, fantastic. Right, I'm going to go with Pete on this. I thought Cole Donaldson was excellent, you know, and to come up against a big physical team like Aloha, and he just, you know, took it in his stride. And I love big Cole, so Cole Donaldson.
He was a colossus.
He was a colossal. I like that. I like that. We'd take that from one, Pete. Brilliant. And I think we've got a nod to the guy who headed it back in as well. He's honorary Falkirk Daft rated for this week because that was a brilliant header back in from when the ball went out. Falkirk Dafty, have you got one?
I'll just go for the weather. It was bizarre. It was like, it wasn't even that windy or wet, but the rain just kept on blowing into the stadium and just getting like a shower of wet. So, yeah.
Fine rain that soaks you through.
Yeah, exactly. Like the flag wasn't even like blowing that hard as well, but it just kept on blowing in. And I was about 10 rows up from the front. I just felt this kind of film of water over my body. It was, yeah.
Love that. Right, so the weather gets... Nod, Ross, who
are
you going for?
Do you know, I know I said it earlier on, but I thought the ref was an absolute joke. So for the 17th time this season, I'm going to say the ref.
Right, okay. I'm going to give it to whoever left their car door open. How can you leave your car door? The announcement went over the tannoy at the start going, the owner of car, please return to their car. They've left their car door open. I've heard a few. Just leaving your car door open. So there you go. Hope it didn't get half inched, and hope your car wasn't soaking due to the wet nature of the weather. Brilliant. Thanks for coming on, Pete. Really appreciate your time. If you want to be a guest pundit like Pete, please get in touch with us through the usual channels. You can get us on our social media, or you can email us falkirkdaftpod@gmail.com. But what you get on your way, Pete, we'll go and look at the views from the other supporters. And thanks for coming on.
You're welcome. All the best. Thank you.
Cheers, Pete.
Take easy.
And looking at the views from the other supporters, Ross, let's kick off with Graham. Pretty turgid overall. We looked lightweight up front. Thankfully, Morrison took his half chance spectacularly well. A game to forget, but 3 points is really all that matters.
Half chance? I don't know if it was a half chance. That seems a bit tough on... Morrison there, didn't it? On the half volley for the edge of the box.
I think Graham's giving him a compliment because it was a half chance. It wasn't a full on chance, yeah. So he took it so well.
He did. No, it was a sweet strike. Really was. Grant says tired and laboured performance not helped by McGlynn leaving Burrell on the bench. However, it's another 3 points, and I thought Nesbitt was our best player.
There you go, shout for Aidan Nesbitt. He did have a decent enough game. He kind of drifted in and out of it a wee bit. Aidan, I felt we didn't really mention him there, but he kind of drifted in and out a wee bit of it. But yeah, overall, just again, like you say, he's just been very consistent. Burrell, do you think there could be an option to play Burrell out wide? I thought Kai Kennedy didn't have a particularly good game on Saturday. Kind of was a bit, again, you know, like we're talking about Monday, but it was maybe LFX from Monday, but I don't think Kai... Do you think that Burrell could be someone that could work out wide for us?
Possibly. He definitely has got pace. I think had Henderson not went off, would we have seen Max... maybe play takeover from Kennedy? I don't know, but as you said, he's maybe more a Nesbitt position.
He's just a lappy, mate, so he wouldn't play wide, really.
No, he wouldn't. That's true. He needs to dictate play in the middle of the park, doesn't he? So, yeah. But no, do you know who else? I know we've just mentioned Nesbitt was in and out of the game. I thought, and I'm a massive fan of him because he's been my player of the year so far, but Leon McCann was had a quite a weird game on Saturday because he lost the ball quite a bit in the first 10-15 minutes, and I think you wonder if that had an impact on his confidence.
Yeah, I'm a bit interested on the Burrell thing because we've got so many options in the striking role now that if he maybe give him a shot out wide and see how he did out there, because I think he's certainly got the drive and energy to do that. And you know, there's a good out ball there as well, so we'll see what happens there. Tired, and then so we've done that one. Ali, their game plan was to try and get an early goal, and we didn't let them. Hard fought win. Who knew Salmon could jump that high and win some balls? He didn't do that for us.
No, he definitely didn't. Drew says one of our worst home performances under McGlynn, definitely. Didn't think Alloa were great, so a draw would have probably been fair, but at least we're scoring late or grinding out wins now since the new year. It gives us much more chance of going up.
We're doing a Dunfermline. I mean, that was a very Dunfermline-like, let's grind this out. Let's get the 1-0. Let's get up the road. You know, you can see that obviously at the end when we're getting it into the corners and just trying to protect that lead and get up the road to 1-0 and not going for that second goal. It was what we've been crying out for is game management at the end, because there's been so many times where we've not managed to get out games. So it was good game management, I thought, from the team. in the end. But yeah, it was good just to grind that one out. I quite liked that. Logan kind of continues on that theme. Bit of a scrappy game, but 3 points on the board and we move on. Thought Max was impressive in his cameo. Didn't mention that he's the new Russell Atapay, right enough. Morrison coming up with the goods in recent weeks has been crucial, which is why he's such an important player for us. Big few weeks ahead. The season is on the table.
Indeed it is, indeed it is. Craig says the defence was excellent against a stuffy Alloa side. Should have been more clinical and finished them off, although Big Wright was unlucky twice. A 6.5 out of 10 performance, however, it was a 10 out of 10 win.
Do you know, that's a good shout, actually, Craig. That's a very good assessment of the game. 6.5 out of 10 performance, 10 out of 10 win, absolutely. Jack, not pretty today, but we'll take that over and handle our change players from the start of the season. I'm here for it. Some spurious... Good word, Jack. Refereeing again, but I have to keep grinding out wins until the end of the season. We have to keep this going.
We do, we do. Ryan says we controlled the majority of the game, possibly a bit leggy. Could have and should have had more. Dealt with Alloa's threat, fine. Max looks a player, as we know. Hope Hendo's injury isn't too bad. Referee, again, shocking. 9 unbeaten. Scottish Cup quarterfinal to look forward to, and the league is back in our hands.
Is Stephen Alloa turned it into a fight today, which we coped with well. Young Max did very well, and Morrison was a threat throughout. Have to give Donaldson a shout today, and he's stealing Pete's patter here. Colossus, referee rhymes with Lillian Gash, right? Oh, Lillian Gish, he says. Lillian Gish. Lillian Gash, yeah. You wouldn't really have to have a rhyming slang for that, would you? Lillian Gish. Who's Lillian Gish, by the way? I've never heard that rhyme.
I've heard the saying before, but I couldn't tell who Lillian Gish actually was.
I'm going to do a quick Google on Lillian Gish and find out who she is. Delightful news about them. Keep grinding out results and we will be fine. Are you... you are obviously the optimist in this podcast. I am obviously the pessimist. My head is firmly in the playoffs, but you're reinvigorated now, Ross, aren't you?
I've never not been, mate. It's always been a possibility. And
a beacon of shining.
Yeah. I've always been on the promotion championship bus, but I think such a massive few weeks coming up. It really, really is. And
they've got to be the South away on Saturday, by the way. I think they'll drop points there.
Yeah, listen, Saturday's huge for both clubs. The Queen of the South away is always a tough game, and we've obviously got that trip through to Airdrie, which has not been a happy hunting ground. So, however, we've got a lot of confidence behind us, and we just need to see it through. We just need to see it through. Grant says Navy Blue Saturdays are back. Amen, amen. And last but not least, William, give me another 12 1-0 wins, please.
And just an FYI, Lillian Gish was the First Lady of American Cinema, and credit me, has been a pioneering fundamental film performance due to her techniques, and rated as the 17th greatest female movie star of classic Hollywood cinema. So Lillian Gish, big shout out to you.
There you go.
That's us look back at the Alloa game. And like you say, if you want to be a pundit, just like Pete was, get us falkirkdaftpod@gmail.com.
This is Falkirk Daft.
This week, we face Airdrie away at the Penny Carr Stadium. And every week, we like to preview the game by inviting one of our fellow podcasters from League One on. And from the only podcast, the Airdrie podcast, it is Mr. Andrew Duffy. How you doing, Andrew?
Very well, thanks. Thanks for having me back, John. Good to see you.
I know. This is the third time we've had you on the podcast. I expect the usual amount of cheek from you. But I've got a couple of questions for you.
Fire it, Will.
What the fuck happened 2 weeks ago? And how did you bottle it?
I'm still asking myself the same question. I think I'm not the only Airdrie supporter in that position. I was thinking at 3-0 and cruising that, the Falkirk Daft Boys will want to buy me a couple of pints for this because we've done them,
a big favour. I was on my way to Airdrie at halftime.
Because the sound of what must have sounded like Dunfermline's bottle crashing would have been echoing, but turned out it was a bottle of our own that fell apart. It was a very strange game. I've been fortunate enough to be on the other end of games like that, when you have a great comeback and when your shoes... Montrose is the big one, right? And when we've done it to Dunfermline before, we've done it to Raith as well, we've done it in cups and things like that. And when the shoe's on that foot, it is absolutely golden. It's brilliant. It's the best feeling in the world because... you sort of resign yourself at 3-0 down or whatever it might be, that that's it, it's goosed, it's over. And there were several Dunfermline fans that felt that way because they left the stadium. So to get that comeback win feels absolutely incredible. It's not so nice when it's the other way around and it's in reverse. We were absolutely cruising it, and you know, it's one of those games where you beat yourself. Although in saying that, there's probably not many teams in the division that, even with that event taking place and you get the penalty to reduce the deficit and the man advantage, I don't think there's many teams in the division that would have been able to make the comeback even in those circumstances. So I don't want to say that it was all about how poorly we handled it, although clearly, you know, it was our game to lose. But they, you know, I don't think any team in the division could have done it in the exact same circumstances. Sometimes you need to say, fair play, that's a day those travelling supporters will remember.
Andrew, what was the catalyst again? So obviously I've not seen the full game or highlights.
So 3-0 up, 3-0 up, and Dunfermline on a counter-attack, handball in the box, penalty given, straight red card. They score the penalty straight away, and we just seem to be at sixes and sevens. They got the second maybe 6 minutes later to make it 3-2, which, to be fair, was a really, really good strike from Todd. Yeah. And at that point, you know, if they had to wait a good wee while before conceding that second one or getting that second goal, you're maybe talking about a different scenario. But to get the second goal so quickly really just energised them in a way that waiting that wee bit longer wouldn't have. And then we just didn't manage to see it out. So you can imagine when we got a red card on Saturday there was a lot of fearing the worst.
There was panic through our way as well, to be honest.
Airdrie 1-0 up. Oh no, it's 1-1. Oh no, Airdrie just had a man set off as a penalty. And then Big Benedictus missed it.
It was a good save,
goalkeeper, to be fair.
It was a good save. It was a great save. I mean, it was a good height for him, I suppose, looking back. At the time, you're just roaring with relief and delight because you are kind of consigning yourself to, here we go, man down, conceding, we're in trouble here. But great save. And then I think that'll give the squad a real boost as well, that they were able to stay organised for that period of the game. Obviously, a lot less time to play still with 10 men than in the previous fixture, but that we didn't concede at all again, that we held out and still played our football in that period will give them a big boost. Because, undoubtedly, in the first game, Dunfermline got away with murder. You know, McPaik in particular, I think, got away with murder because it was a very, very even match up until 1-0. It reminded me a lot, as did the game at the weekend there, of the 1-1 at your place between yourselves and Airdrie earlier in the season there, where both teams would have spells on top, both teams would have chances.
Yeah.
We got the goal in the first game and McPaik made a double substitution straight away. His analysis seemed to be that they were losing the midfield. But like I say, up to that point, it was very, very even. He makes this double substitution and their midfield didn't seem to know what they were now set out to do. So from a very even game up until that point, it became one-way traffic for the rest of the half. We scored to make it 2-0 and had them on toast. They come out at half-time with a wee bit of pressure, but we go up park and score a third goal. And at that point, you're thinking McPaik is going to get it in the neck for this because they've not reacted at all well to the double substitution that they probably didn't need to do. That's what we all thought at half-time. He's kind of handed us the game here. We thought, in our arrogance, that that double substitution made it so much easier for us. We get the second, got the third, and we were really pressing the advantage. It told in the end for them, but I do think in more ways than one, they got away with one there. But like I say, they made the comeback, so fair play to them.
Do you think Reece McCabe being on the park, you know, and I've seen a few Airdrie supporters saying this, Andrew, about, you know, in terms of when something like that happens, you go down to 10 men, just the organisation and just moving things about, do you think him being on the park kind of affects that a wee bit?
I think it can. And I think there would maybe be more weight to that argument if it happened again on Saturday. But, you know, Reece was on the park on Saturday there. We got a man down and there was no collapse. It must make it more difficult to communicate with your bench when you're on the park than when you're on the bench. That's just, there's no two ways about it. If you're not sat on the bench with the subs and with your coaches, then it will be harder to communicate than the alternative. But we've gone through the whole season like this. You know, there's maybe been two or three games where Reece has been on the touchline instead of on the park. So, and we've made changes at those times. We've made changes. I'm not entirely convinced that it's as clear cut as that, that it's just because he's on the park, because he's been able to effectively communicate with the bench in other occasions. I do think we made some mistakes with the subs that we made, and they end up, in hindsight, during the defeat. But I don't think you've got a manager sitting on the bench is always guaranteed to make the right subs anyway. So I think there's an element, you know, there's an element to it. It played a part, no doubt, but I don't think we conceded that game from that advantage because we have a manager on the park. I don't think it would have been the be-all and end-all difference maker had he been on the touchline, or had there been someone else on the touchline making those decisions. Did it contribute? Yeah, possibly. But like I say, there's been occasions where we've been able to get the subs on or get organised without it. So I don't think it rings true as the big shiny, yeah, this is why it went wrong sign on the side of the building.
Yeah, I just saw a few Airdrie supporters talking about that. I mean, Reece McCabe's been really impressive. We talked about him at the start of the season. There was obviously a bit of apprehension, a bit of worry about him being such a young guy, but what a job and what football he's got playing at Airdrie. And, you know, he's on such a good run of form. Where are you at in terms of the league? Is it playoffs, just settling for the playoffs now, Andrew, presumably? I mean, it looks like Edinburgh are dropping like a rock at the moment.
I know, that's good, isn't it? That makes me feel a lot better. Considering what they've done to us this season, I don't want to have to face them in a playoff. I don't see Dunfermline dropping enough points for us to catch them at this stage, considering how consistent they've been. You know, I remember speaking to you guys at the start of the season and saying I didn't expect anyone in this league to do anything like what us or Cove did last season and go unbeaten that long. But, you know, one defeat all season long, you know, you can't argue with that. That's not to say they're going to finish the season like that, but certainly the points difference between themselves and us, I think, might be a step too far. As collapses go, it would need to be a Morton-esque collapse for us to catch them at this stage. You guys have a better shot of it. You've still got two games against them.
Yeah.
But even then, given how consistent they've been, you're really in a scenario where you need them to drop points and you just can't really slip up. You can't really afford to slip up and give them any more ground. So I think it'll be difficult for anyone to catch me at this point, albeit not impossible. But I think it will be very, very difficult for us to do it. So playoffs, you know, has really got to be the target for us. You guys know what it's like. Us established League One teams need to just hope for promotion rather than expect it. But, you know, a playoff finish is always the kind of bar that I'll set for us at the start of a season. That's what I want us to finish in, and then you take it for there. Yeah. So we're in a decent enough position for that just now. It's within our own hands, so that looks like...
When you look at it, it's tight though, because when you've obviously got yourselves on 40, Edinburgh and Alloa on 39, granted Edinburgh's run has been really bad, but they've had a draw on Saturday, so you don't know how that's going to kind of play with them. Alloa had been on a decent run, bar the couple of games, obviously, where they've played us, and more recently, bigger pardon, but I don't see anyone else being in the mix for the playoffs. I just don't see Montrose or Queen of the South or Kelty, for that matter, gaining enough points to kind of get in there. So you've really got five teams.
I think you are right. Yeah, I think that's definitely true, Ross. I think the chances of Queen of the South making the ground up really, really slim at this stage. That was a pretty bad result for them at the weekend there in terms of their chances.
I think they'll still take points off teams this season. No, I know Dunfermline are down there on Saturday.
It's
a tough game for them. I think Martin Bartley's kind of turned it a wee bit around there. And I actually expect them to go to Kelty and win there at the weekend. So, but like you say, I think, you know, playoffs looking like a a bit of a distance for them to make.
Yeah.
But I mean, second Chivo, still fancy second then, Andrew?
Yeah, I mean, when you start to look at the playoffs, you see that second place is probably the most advantaged position to be in, because you get the home advantage second leg thing for your first game. And if you end up playing the winner of the team coming down and fourth place, if it happens to be fourth place, you've got home advantage again. But Queen's Park proved last season you don't need to be finishing second, third, or even a good fourth to go up. Yeah. You know, you need to be consistent to win this league, but they proved last year you can dick a boot for a season being mediocre, terrible, and very, very, very rarely good. But as long as you click during the playoffs, you can get promoted in a 10-team division. So there's an advantage to finishing second, and that's obviously what you would go for. If you can't win the title, you want to finish best of the rest and go in with the momentum and go in with the feel-good factor and the winning mentality. But we proved that doesn't count for anything. And they end up, if you don't win the playoffs last season, you know what I mean? We had all that unbeaten run, playing great football, beating everybody, second place. And we got through the playoff semis, but it didn't give us any advantage in the end, because we had everything you would hope for, home leg for the second leg in the playoff final, but we lost, we didn't get through. So it's not the be-all, end-all. But yeah, second place is achievable, and if you can't win the title, I'm sure that's the minimum Falkirk will be going for as well.
Yeah. So Saturday, you're down a keeper now, Josh Ray, obviously suspended. Davey Hutton, not the guy from the Quick Sale advert, is going to come in, former Dunfermline goalkeeper as well. Are you fancying him in the sticks for Saturday, or is there a bit of worry about that?
Well, I mean, what a niche reference. I like that. Well done. Congrats. That was a good one. I think, obviously, Josh was brought in as our number one and didn't get to play much of the season up until recently, and made a huge difference when he's come back. So he will be a loss just because he is a very, very good goalie for this level. We're now going to play you for the third time, and it'll be a third goalie, because we had Murray Johnson on loan from Hibs early in the season when Josh Ray got injured unexpectedly. Then it was Dean Linus in the game at the Falkirk Stadium. So it'll be Hutton this weekend. Three games, three goalies is a bit of a unusual situation. But I don't think... I'm not going to sit here and pretend it's not an issue. You know, your number one goalie's no there, and he's a really, really good player. But, you know, we've cuffed Falkirk with David Hutton in goals before, so it's no big deal. Do it again.
And obviously you lost Lewis Jameson back to St. Well, a bit of a blow in that respect, because he was your second top goal scorer, wasn't he?
At the time he was. I think him and Callum Smith are now joint.
Right.
So Smith obviously was suspended for the weekend, so we'll have him back on Saturday. It was him that was sent off against Dunfermline in the home game. Mm-hmm. So he'll be back available, which gives us a boost in terms of our attacking options. And we went with a two and played an extra man in midfield on Saturday there. Whether we stick with that, it was quite effective. Ben Stanway, who we've got in on loan from Partick Thistle, got his first goal, played very well, and he's played very well every time he's appeared for us so far. So there might be a temptation to stick with that. But Smithy's been so good for us all season and the season before that I'd be personally surprised if he doesn't play again, because he's just got pace to burn, and on his day can be deadly.
So you're normally a 4-3-3 as well. You kind of match up with us, don't you?
Yeah, that's pretty much it. We usually go with a front three of Callum Gallagher in the middle, Smithy wide left, Gabby McGill wide right. Especially now that LJ's away, when Jameson was here, he would sometimes play that wide right position. We've got Lewis McGregor, who signed after he was released by Morton, and he was particularly effective against Clyde in the win against Clyde earlier a couple of weeks ago. He's frighteningly fast as well, but I think, considering the form everyone's in, if everyone's fit, I expect we'll go with the front three again of Smith, Gal, Gabby. But whether we change that or stick to what we did this weekend will remain to be seen.
Yeah. Scores prediction?
3-1 Airdrie, a David Hutton hat-trick.
Sold!
No, I can actually see wee Charlie Telfer getting a goal. for us. He scored a couple of crackers, and I know when I was on the last time and talked him up a wee bit, there was some surprise, including from some of your Andrew supporters who were surprised I was talking him up so well, but he's really come onto a game for us recently. Scored a couple of cracking goals, so if he has a good game, we'll do okay. But yeah, I think there'll be goals in it. I think it'll be another good matchup, because I think the first game was a bit of a walkover.
The best football sides in the league for me is
I think so. Yeah, when we click, we've proven we can do that to teams. You know, we did it to Alloa, did it to Montrose, we were doing it to Dunfermline until things all went horribly wrong, and did it to you guys right at the start of the season. But it was a very close, good game of football at the Falkirk Stadium the last time around, and I think it could be similar again. Both teams will have spells, and it's about who can be deadliest during those spells, I think, will probably determine who comes away with the 3 points.
Yeah. Roscoe?
I think this will be our most comfortable away win all season, to be honest with you.
Everyone's bravado.
No, see, in all seriousness, I think this will be... The first game of the season against the teams is obviously atrocious from our perspective. The December game was far, far tighter, just as Andrew said. I think we're a different beast now, so it'll be interesting. I'm not actually sure how we'll go against them, because the team that we put out against Airdrie last time in December will be far, far different to this one. Mm-hmm. So I'm excited about it. I think it'll be a big crowd. I think it'll be a big game. A win for us, I think, would seal second for us minimum, because we'd be 11 points in front there from that perspective, still with a game in hand. So I think it probably would seal second, but Airdrie's always tough to go. But going back to that prediction, I think Falkirk will score a few goals. I'm going to say 3-0 Falkirk.
Oh, there he goes. I'm going to just take a 1-0 up the road. Quite happy with that. You're all bravado. Ross has already claimed we've got the new Russell Atapi, by the way, so watch out for him.
Right, okay.
We max in midfield if he plays on Saturdays, the new Russell Atapi. So Mark,
maybe try and meet him for a smoke round the back at half time or something.
He'll be having a cigar on the pitch, I'll be that easy.
Brilliant. Andrew, thanks as ever. Always great chat with you.
Andrews.
Well, you know, best of luck on Saturday, but we don't need it.
Yeah. No worries, guys.
Yeah. Right, cheers, Andrew.
All the best. Cheers.
Thanks, mate. Bye-bye.
This is Falkirk Daft.
And that's it for this week's Falkirk Daft. Thank you very much for watching, listening, wherever you hear your podcast. Remember, you can get us Apple, Spotify, all that. Gubbins, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, we're all over that as well. Subscribe to our channel on YouTube. See our lovely faces. And you can buy merch as well. We've got Falkirk Daft merch. You can do that. shop.spreadshirt.co.uk/Falkirk-Daft. We've got some offers coming up on the merch as well. So keep an eye out for that. Right, Alloa's done. On to Airdrie now. It just feels one after the other, after the other, after the
other. Yeah, every game's a cup final now, buddy.
Definitely. Absolutely, Ross. But yeah, we'll see what happens. We'll see where we're at next week on Falkirk Daft. And remember, if you want any sponsors, we'd love to get your sponsorship this week. As we said, we're dedicating this one to Strathcairn Hospice and all the help they gave to Hilly. So this one's for Strathcairn Hospice. We'll put the link to Strathcairn Hospice. If you can donate a few quid to them, it'd be much appreciated, as we are going to do for this episode as well. So thank you very much, Strathcairn Hospice, for everything they do for everyone across the Falkirk area. It's amazing work they do. And if you want to sponsor the show, you can do that. Drop us an email, please do that. falkirkdaftpod@gmail.com. All right, let's tie a bow on that one, Ross, and look towards Saturday.
Indeed, let's finish off the season in style for Hilly, just as you said, mate. It would be amazing if we could win the league this year, and I'm sure he would like a cup win as well, but I think he would be absolutely delighted if the team went on and won the league and got back up to the next step, as it is.
So this one's for you, Hilly. And until next time.
Expect unexpected, buddy, as always.